and fall away, fall away, oh. May the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came away.
What is up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing today? It's hump day. Although it feels like it should be Friday and Monday all at the same time. I don't know if you all are experiencing that as I am. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great show. Lots of stuff to talk about today. We want to talk about this together. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. And that is because Civic Media is all about real news and great conversation. This is the place for that great conversation. You can also take us everywhere you are. Download that Civic Media app from wherever you like to get your apps. It is free. And then you've got Civic and me on the go everywhere you are. Let's jump right in today. Just a little highlight reel of where I plan to take us all this afternoon in our discussions. I left off yesterday with one of my favorite callers, a guy by the name of Gary. And he was expressing his dismay at being called a Nazi because he voted for Donald Trump. And he was taking offense to that. We're going to start there because I think it actually presents us an opportunity to think a bit about, well, why would someone call a Donald Trump supporter a Nazi? What are they actually saying? And why are they saying it? And okay, if we can have that discussion, if we can talk about difficult things with people we disagree with, that has to be important. That has to be part of our great conversation, right? Name calling certainly not helpful, but what is the name calling about? I also find it a little weird that someone would be complaining about being called a Nazi when Donald Trump literally calls people names every day, all day. I mean, even the guy that he makes his Secretary of State, that's little Marco, right? Like, this is Donald Trump's brand. This is Donald Trump's party. He's the name caller of all name callers. But we're going to start with that. I want to then talk about what I'm going to describe as the information environment that we're all existing in. There's a lot of ink being written about this. This, to me, is one of the four or five explainers for the Trump election, in addition to what I'm just going to call a Democratic branding or messaging failure. So we're going to talk about that information environment because it is the information environment that has begat a guy like Eric Hovde claiming that, he couldn't possibly have lost the election to Senator Tammy Baldwin, which is weird. Because it happens to be the nearly exact same margin by which Ron Johnson beat Mandela Barnes. And former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, frequent guest of the show, good friend, he conceded the day after the election. So what's up with Eric Hovde? So we're going to talk about that environment, that information environment. You might even call it the information swamp, if you will, right? Like, hey, Donald Trump wants to drain the swamp. Maybe we should start with the information swamp that we all seem to be struggling through these days. And if we can get there, we're going to play a little game. And I promise I'll tie it all together for you, put a nice little bow on it. But we're going to play a little game this afternoon. And that is, hey, tell me a story about the time you met somebody famous and or do you have 60 degrees of separation from Donald J. Trump, the 47th president of the United States? Because late yesterday evening, when Donald J. Trump announced his appointee for the position of defense secretary, I realized I'm within 6 degrees of separation from Donald J. Trump, and I'm actually less than 6 degrees away from Donald J. Trump. I will explain before the show is out. So get ready your stories of famous people you've met and or do you have 6 degrees of separation from Donald J. Trump? And shaking his hand, which he doesn't do a lot of, or being at one of his rallies does not count. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine texting in. Hi, Andrew. Always good to hear from you saying, did someone call Gary a Nazi or is Gary just equating himself with Trump? Ha ha, I got the joke. Love it. Matt from Middleton. Well, Gary, you may not be a Nazi, but if you are a Nazi, the Republican Party under Trump is a good place for you. Charlottesville, anyone? So let's just jump right in there. I think that's a good a place center. And Gary, if you're out there and you're listening, my friend, I am more than happy to put you on the phone lines and have this discussion for me. But if you aren't listening or you don't feel like calling, I'm just going to use you as a very handy foil to begin our conversation today. And I thank you for that, sir. I think Matt from Middleton referring to the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally is an apt point. The Unite the Right rally was not just about white supremacy and far-right extremism writ large. Far-right supremacy, right, is explicitly racist, and it takes much of its thinking and ideology from Nazism. So that's, you know, how the crumbs get connected. Now, I've said this before. Donald Trump is overtly racist, sexist, homophobic, and xenophobic. Overtly, it's part of his brand. I don't think most people who voted for him would call themselves those words. So what's the disconnect? Like, Gary's getting offended, right? Because Trump supporters have been called Nazis or racists or anti-Semitic, right? Well, so you're not those things, then help me get through why there is a justifiable reason to support a guy that is, again, racist, homophobic, sexist, xenophobic, that built that into his brand. I think that's the piece where people have a problem. And listen, I also find it a little troubling when I hear these sorts of complaints from the right. When I see trucks rolling down the street in our neighborhoods with huge, enormous flags a-flying that say things like, let's go, Brandon, which is code for, you know, fudge you, Joe Biden, right? Like, there is an in-your-facedness about Trumpism that is designed to offend. Its purpose is to offend. Its purpose is to incite both supporters and to, frankly, quote, own the libs, right? When we're talking about folks on the left. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My good friend, Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're on the air. What do you have to say, my friend?
Thanks, Maggie. For the in-your-face stuff, because we've got it, you know, that I've read a lot on, you know, a lot, but I've read some on Nazi Germany, a lot of the language that they use. And, I mean, the sexism and the racism and this whole, one thing that's just been troubling me and, you know, troubling my women friends I've talked about, the whole your body, my choice. And I've seen a proposed response to that is your face, my fist. And I thought a more appropriate response is your balls, my knee. Because women need to...
Go ahead, Mark. Thank you for the chuckle, right? Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, that's the response I got from a friend of mine, a former girlfriend that I've known for 36 years, I'm still dear friends with, that just saw her and her 101-year-old father yesterday, who recognizes Donald Trump for what he is.
Yeah.
And that, and it's just a shame that he's on his way out now. And those, so many of those people that fought against the Nazis are confronting a president who may not actually, you know, be a Nazi, but he certainly echoes a lot of the fascist language, you know, including the misogyny that was based in the Nazi and fascist philosophy that women are here to produce, you know, strong, healthy children for the Reich, and that echoes back to ancient Sparta, where women were supposed to be strong and healthy to produce soldiers for the you know, for the king, you know, the kingdom of Sparta, or the state of Sparta, or the city of Sparta, whichever you want to define it. And what's unique there with the new defense secretary who does not like the
women in combat. Yes, we'll get to our good friend soon enough. Yeah, I hear. Go ahead, Mark. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
Yeah, that and the Spartan. I mean, it was brothers in arms meant more than just brothers. You know, with spears they were carrying, with swords they were carrying. It was actually that, and they wouldn't have defined it as such as homosexual, but their initial love interest was other men, and that it is remarkable that that's not recognized by our military. That some of our military leaders, that they kind of overlook that little fact, where they would wanting to keep both gay men out of the military or women out of the military, when Israel actually has women in combat units. And this new guy, this Hegsworth guy, the image that occurs to me, there's an old Far Side cartoon where a guy was exiting the restroom and a flashing sign above the restroom was said, "Didn't wash hands." And apparently this guy is not only is he a pig for not washing his hands, apparently he's a serial adulterer, just like Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like the cabinet of adulterers in many respects, especially with Kristi Noem coming onto the scene. Thanks for the call. That is Mark from Prairie du Sac, regular caller. Glad to hear from you, my friend. You want to get in on the action here for these great conversations? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yeah, I think, you know, again, it's a little weak sauce, in my humble opinion, for conservatives to complain about name calling. And the reality is, again, as a reminder, this is Maggie's summary of what happened in 2024. Very real existential angst over people's future. That was a real feeling that motivated many Trump voters, whether it was about safety concerns, real or imagined, or whether it was about economic uncertainty and the feeling that they're getting screwed by, quote, the system, the swamp, those people. Whatever it is, that feeling was real. And the reality is, behind that feeling, that the economic system in this country has been rigged, and rigged for a long time against the middle class. It's why we see greater income and wealth inequality today than we did back in the turn of the century, from the 18th into the 19th century, when robber barons and steel magnates dominated the U.S. ecosystem and economy. We're going to take care of some quick business.